Welcome to Spartan Up Podcast. I'm Joe DeSena. I am the founder of Spartan, and we are your resiliency partner. What does that mean? We want to rip you off the couch. We want to get you moving and motivated every single day. This week, I interviewed a guy named Grant Cardone. I didn't know who this guy was. You might not know who he is. Grant's got this podcast called The Cardone Zone. He already published this interview, so if you're a fan of his and you watched it, stay tuned anyway, because I'm going to give you all the behind-the-scenes stuff that happened at the castle. But he brings 35,000 people into a stadium when he gives a talk. He basically helps people 10x their life. He focuses on the business side, but he is an animal at 60-plus years old. The only way I can get to him was I had to fly to the UK. I literally had to trek with my kettlebell to his castle, which was unbelievable. It felt like I was meeting the queen. Anyway, stay tuned. You're going to love this interview.
This episode of the Spartan Up Podcast is brought to you by Shady Rays Sunglasses, built for adventure. Go to ShadyRays.com and use the code SPARTAN to get 50% off when you order two pairs of sunglasses from Shady Rays.
So what are you doing in the neighborhood, man?
We have an office in London.
Yeah.
And I was running around doing some business, and I took a shot. I heard you were out here.
Yeah, you heard.
It's like,
you heard.
Like 2 hours outside London. I needed to get exercise in anyway, so I left at like 5 a.m. And I get to this town, and I'm like, I heard there's a Cardone residence or a castle or something, and somebody pointed me down this long driveway, and sure enough, your chopper was coming in. And
dude, the Americans are here. Trump was here this weekend.
The three of us.
It's crazy, man.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. And how are you similar to Trump?
I would say I'm definitely brash. Uh-huh. I definitely push buttons.
Mm-hmm.
But
you ad lib. You can ad lib.
Yeah,
I think he ad libs.
Yeah,
quite a bit,
he ad libs.
You?
But I'm not. I got a little more taste, I think. Just a little. I mean, I'm from Queens, so I probably don't have much taste, but a little.
Yeah.
But actually, Trump and I are both from Queens, and you're from Louisiana.
But which is, you know, very similar.
Well, actually, you were, what would they say? All the criminals from France ended up down in Louisiana. So I think.
No, well, what happened was, I'm Italian, first of all. I'm not French.
Right, I'm Italian, too.
So you know, lots of Italians ended up down there. They came in through Boston, New York,
anywhere
there was a seepage, you know, and so, but the French did. You know,
years before that.
Yeah, they were.
French criminals were down there. Yeah,
I guess. I don't know. Either.
Your wife Italian?
She is. She is some Italian.
Nice.
Yeah. I met. She grew up in Louisiana. You married?
I'm married.
Yeah. Kids?
Irish. Four.
Okay.
You? How many?
Two kids.
Nice.
Young though. My kids are younger than yours.
How old?
7 and 10.
All right. I've got 6, 10, 11, 13.
Oh. Okay. All right. So you're. Yeah. How old are you?
50.
Okay, I'm 61, so I'm old.
61?
Yeah.
Fuck, you look great.
Yeah, well, that's because I don't drag this around with me. So
wow.
You carry that with you everywhere you go, it's going to make you old.
61?
Yeah.
Nice. And you met 10 years ago? When did you meet her?
15. We've been married 16 years ago.
Nice. Yeah. Going well?
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. I got to say,
agrees with me, everything's perfect.
Nice. All these people get divorced.
Yeah.
All these people have problems. But
yeah.
You're right. As long as your wife agrees with you.
Yeah,
there's no issue.
It's all good.
No issue at all.
I'm making all the right moves. You know what I always use on her is when she's not happy, I'm like, give me a grade.
Right.
Just give me a grade. And she's like, I hate this game. Because I know and she knows I'm going to be at least a 93 or above,
right.
And that's better than the grades I had in school.
I like that. Have you ever gotten a C with her? Or?
No, never.
Really?
There's nothing. I do so many good things.
You're always in the 90s.
I'm in the 90s, dude. I just keep making, where I'm good, I'm real good.
I like it.
Where I'm bad, I'm like, hey, you know I wasn't perfect.
All right.
You resisted me long enough.
And you're still in the A's.
So, yeah.
So, grew up in Louisiana?
Yeah. Two brothers and two sisters.
All your age?
No, 5 years. Everybody was, I'm an identical twin.
Okay.
And then everybody was 5 years older, 5, 10, 15 years older.
Than you?
Yeah.
Wow. So they're in their 70s.
My older sister is, I guess, 15, 75, yeah.
All successful?
Yeah, what do you mean? You
know? I mean, they all crush it, or?
No. I mean, they didn't go for crushing it. Right. They just went for be happy, be grateful. You have whatever you have, your health. You know, the whole American
sure.
lie.
Sure. How did you, and so what was the, how did you get the fire?
Man, I don't know. It's a good question, you know. But I've had it for a long time.
Since you were a
kid. Because I've always been disappointed in who I was.
Right.
I've been extremely, like, the theme that runs in my life is just disappointment throughout the whole thing. Particularly the first, from 10 years old to 25. And then 25 to 50, you know, I was doing better because I had a drug problem at 16.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Was that the disappointment, or was it like...
No. The drugs were a byproduct, you know. Yeah. It was, the disappointment was, the school thing. School was disappointing. No uncles, no dad.
Right.
No, I didn't know direction, just boredom. Right. That's why what you do with these the races at least keeps somebody occupied for some moment of time that gives them a goal big enough and a challenge.
Sure.
I didn't have any challenges.
So you didn't have anybody like setting some goals up in front of you saying...
No. When my dad died, I kept waiting for one of the uncles to step up, and they didn't.
Got it.
And that pissed me off because I'm like, dude, somebody's got to step up and give me a little guidance here.
But you had older brothers and
sisters. My older brother died when I was 20.
Right.
So 10 years after my dad died.
Got it.
So there was no men.
Got it.
Just a bunch of women.
And mom wasn't like setting big goals for you?
No. My mom grew up in breadlines. So,
right.
You know, I'd go to my mom. I remember I did a deal when I was 30. Bought my first piece of real estate. And mom, I bought this piece of real estate. It was $3 million or $1.9 million. And she's like, wow, that's great. But you know, I love you just the way you are.
Right.
And I hung up the phone. She said that to me 1,000 times. And I hung up the phone and said, yeah, but I don't love me the way I am. And then my counselor buddy, Dale, says, you need to love yourself the way you are. I said, ain't never going to happen, dude.
Right.
I said, that's the big lie. I don't want to love me the way I am. I want to become the guy I should be.
No, but because who were you looking at that was driving that? I mean, I know the answer to that question for me. Like, But were there people in the neighborhood where you grew up that you were like?
No. I was in a lower middle class neighborhood. You know, there was nobody. James Bond.
Right.
Sean Connery.
Right.
The Godfather.
Right.
You know, Vito Corleone. I'm like, God damn, I want to be him. So I had all these misguided, but they were all powerful male figures.
Right.
Had money, had control.
They were filling the void your dad and
yeah,
your brother.
Dude, I didn't. I didn't know. That's probably how a little bit of how I ended up in the drug thing.
Right.
Clean that up, and then I'm like,
how long did the drug thing go on?
Almost 10 years, 16 to 26. 25.
How would you stop that without a dad or like?
Mom just said, hey, don't come around me anymore. When she finally like
found out about
did it. The hard thing. Oh no, she knew about it for 9 years, so she just denied it. But when she finally said, hey, don't come around, I was slurring, you know, loaded. And I mean, I was out of control, dude.
So
I cleaned up at 25 years. I bought a piece of real estate when I was 29 years old. I bought a single family house, put $3,000 down. I was making $150 a month off. I said, fuck, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to get rich. I've always wanted to be rich. And
One of those male figures that, right?
I always wanted money.
You want a tuxedo. You want people look, you're fucking. Vito Corleone. I walked into Vito Corleone's
house. Because I remember my dad. My dad was the guy that made, when I was 8 years old, I was starting to process data. You know, before that, I'm sure, right? But my dad was the guy that decided where we went,
right.
How long we stayed, and what we did.
Right.
He had the money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want the money, dude. I want to be the guy that decides when we go to the candy store and how long we stay there.
Sure.
So it wasn't really about money, right? So my first investment was a mistake because it was that single family house. And yeah. I shopped real estate every weekend after that for 3 years before I bought my next piece. Every weekend.
Wow.
So like I've looked at tens of thousands of pieces of property before I bought one, my second one. And
do you have a mentor? Somebody was
no,
doing,
no.
Just doing it on your
no
own?
No mentor, no book. I've never read a book on real estate.
Nice.
And there was one book that I got that said the only thing I ever read on the book was the title, how to create
wealth in real estate.
Mega wealth or something in real estate, you know, like yeah. you know,
and that attracts
that's all life. That's as far as I got in the book. I said right. That's what I'm gonna do, and then I started studying these guys, and so you know, here we are
so now. Right, you're in the right place. you got a nose for it. You're in San Diego.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And right time.
But it didn't feel like it was the right time then.
No, when you're in no, it. No, I know that.
Banks won't give you a loan. Yeah. U-Haul's leaving San Diego. Yeah. But look, I've been doing it for 30 years now. Like I bought $400 million worth of real estate this week.
Nice.
Completely different time than, nice. than.
Most people brag about, hey, I bought, you know, enough food for the house this week.
Yeah, yeah.
You bought $400 million in real estate.
No, most, yeah, and most people are showing off their Lamborghini that they rented this weekend.
Yeah, right.
So tell me about you, man. What is the whole Spartan deal? Where did that come from?
This is what I bought this week.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was $39. Yeah. I grew up in Queens, mm-hmm. Italian neighborhood. If you saw the movie Goodfellas.
Yeah, yeah,
I,
sure.
I grew up ground zero for that. Dead center, bullseye in the middle of that. And dad was doing really well. Started buying real estate in the 70s. So that's why I have a little bit of knowledge around real estate. He was a big fish there, and especially in that environment. Had partners because you couldn't do that business without partners. And 87 crash comes and pretty much starts losing everything. And so I watched like a slow-moving train wreck.
How old were you?
Well, I'm 51.
No, at that time, though.
Oh, at that time. So I was born in 69, so 70, so 87. So I'm 15 years old, 16 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this hero, mm-hmm. my hero, the smartest guy around, nice car, biggest piece of property in the neighborhood. Funky stuff going on, too, stuff that's supposed to make its way places in trucks or not, you know. Uh-huh. And he's losing everything. So he's lost respect. He's losing his money. Phone's ringing. And so I quickly had a distaste for real estate. Why the fuck would I want to be in real estate? But unlike you, I saw him every Sunday. He'd read the New York Times back then. He's always looking at properties. Uh-huh. And he'd be talking about it at the dinner table. So I was picking up all those things. But I didn't want any part of it. And had that not happened, the early 90s, my God, you would have made $1 billion. I mean, I remember him coming home. He's losing everything. And,
yeah.
he still can't stop looking at properties.
Uh-huh.
And he comes back from the Hamptons. He would do his weekend drives out to the Hamptons. He'd come home one day, and I remember he said, you could buy anything, all on, you know, eastern end of Long Island for, like, any bid, anything you want. But we had no money.
Yeah.
And he's losing, like, one building. I can't even tell you the properties that he lost.
Uh-huh.
And so my neighbor is the big boss, right? And all the four of the five families, there's four bosses living in our neighborhood. I'm 1 mile by 1 mile.
The bosses, all
the five families.
The capos.
Yeah.
The
big bosses, right?
Yeah, so, the real bosses.
The real bosses.
Yeah, yeah.
So four of the five families are in this neighborhood.
Uh-huh. So you're talking the Bananos?
Oh, yeah, yeah. My neighbor is the head of the Banana organized crime family.
Oh,
right,
my
at
God.
This time. But I don't really know. I mean, I kind of know as a kid, like, these are the guys with respect, just like you're looking at the TV shows that we talk about, right?
Yeah, yeah,
and they've got the nice car, and every day cars are pulling up to their house all day long, bringing them stuff. And you just kind of know that, like, you want to be that. You don't know exactly what that is. And so my neighbor, next door neighbor, he's got only daughters. He sees what's going on with my dad, who was an earner. I mean, he was a big shot, but he was losing everything. And he says, hey, I want you to clean my pool. But, hey, kid, come clean my pool. My parents get divorced because my mother, you know, everything's crumbling. And she finds yoga and meditation. She goes completely the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor brings me in and says, clean my pool.
Hey, Spartans. Zach Evanesh here, host of The Spartan Way, with you every Thursday. And before we get back to the interview, I want to share with you a quick message from today's sponsor, ShadyRays.com. These sunglasses are made for Spartans. They're made for adventure. They've got one of the toughest, strongest warranties I've ever heard, that if you break them or lose them on a trail run, forget them at the restaurant, lose them in the lake while you're swimming, they will replace them for free. The other cool things that they're doing is they've got a special offer for us, 50% off when you order two sunglasses, which is basically a buy two, get one free if you use the code Spartan over at ShadyRays.com. And as Spartans, we're always talking about how to take care of your health. And sometimes I feel a little bit of an afterthought is We forget about taking care of our eyes, protecting our eyes from the sun. Head on over to ShadyRays.com. Use the code Spartan.
So I start cleaning his pool and he starts teaching me all these lessons. And, you know, if I'm really honest with myself, your dad is falling from grace and this guy's becoming like my guy.
Right.
And then he gives me the head of the Lucchese family. And then he gives me, you know, Gotti. And before you know
he gives you their pool.
Yeah.
You got a little business
there. Yeah, because they trust me in the backyard, right? Joe trusts me in the backyard.
That's amazing.
So before you know it, I had 700 customers. I mean, it took years.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But all these guys were my guys. And
they pay cash.
Paid cash. I never had to ask for money. And if there was ever a problem, I remember one guy, I started to get into construction. So not only was I cleaning the pool, then they would, because they trusted me, hey, can you do the patio? Can you do this? Can you fix that? So it was a guy, Johnny Dapp. And I come see my neighbor. I would see my neighbor every night. I'd stop by his house and, you know, how you doing? What's going on?
The mentor guy.
The mentor guy, the big boss. And he said, how's it going? I said, oh, you know, Johnny Dapp, he owes me $65,000. He said, all right, when you see him next week, bring him this bottle of wine. Just tell him from me. And I go in, and Joe told me to bring you this bottle of wine. He said, oh, hang on, I know I owe you money. And he went, opened the safe, $65,000 in cash, handed it to me.
Wow, dude.
So there was never an issue.
What a great lesson.
It was unbelievable. And
he did that without force. How did he?
There was no, it was just
no, like, force, no threat. Yeah, here's right. A bottle of wine.
We're friends. That was the message. Like, we're right.
Wow.
So that went
that
on.
That is unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. It was
that's really a game changer for
game
me,
changer.
By the way.
But
no, you telling me that.
Story like, even gets
I'm going to use that. Oh, yeah, I'm going to use it.
So story gets crazier. So mom moves me to Ithaca, New York, because there's nobody in Queens that's into yoga, meditation, health food, all this crazy stuff. There's Indians in her living room chanting, meditating. Mm-hmm. There was no yoga magazines back then, so she was off the reservation.
Yeah.
I don't want anything to do with her. Uh-huh. My sister doesn't want anything to do with her. My father doesn't want anything. Nobody in the neighborhood. It's kind of a laughingstock thing. She moves to Ithaca, where it's more accepting. There's universities there. There's a lot of hippies. I'm kicking and screaming. I don't want to go. We get to the neighborhood. I mean, we get to Ithaca, and I want to get back. I got to run my business. I want to go back and forth. So I'm going back and forth between dad and mom and running the business. And she's praying and chanting and trying to get me to get into her stuff. But I want to be like those guys. And I got this business, right?
Yeah.
And
but what a conflict.
Oh, it was a big conflict because I'm light-skinned, unlike you. I'm a light-skinned Italian with red hair at this
uh-huh,
time.
Uh-huh.
So I don't, like, I'm measuring myself and saying, am I tough enough to uh-huh, be uh-huh. this? But I don't even look like, and I'm not really that tough, right? This is my own narrative going on in my head. And so I guess one way I'm reconciling it is by building this business, right? And I'm applying all these things my neighbor is teaching me. Like, if you're going to come and clean the pool at 8 a.m. on Saturday, you better show up at 7:45. And if you're going to clean the pool, you better clean the shed. Even though I'm not paying you for that, you clean the shed and straighten up the lawn front, do everything. Make yourself invaluable. Because he doesn't want to be embarrassed when he sends me somewhere.
Yeah.
And I work on there, right? He's recommending it.
Right.
So anyway, he's teaching me all these business, never asked for money. And the business is growing. And so I'm graduating high school, and I want to go run my business. I'm not going to college. Nobody guided me to go to college. And a friend of mine in Ithaca, New York says, hey, why don't we go to Cornell? Which was a joke because my grades were terrible. With 3 months from graduating, I want to get back to the neighborhood and run my business. And he says, my dad's a professor at Cornell. He'll get us in. That sounded like a neighborhood thing. Like, I got a guy.
Yeah.
And he's going to get us into a Ivy League university. I said, yeah, we'll go do it.
Yeah.
So we both apply. We put our suits on. We go in. It's a shoe-in because his dad's going to get us in. And we both get rejected. It doesn't work. So we both get turned down. And now I want to go. Now I'm in, right? And my buddy says, look, I found out from my dad we could both go extramural. That means we could take classes but not be part of the school. And if we do well, we could prove that we could handle the workload, then they have to accept us. So I said, that's interesting. I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, I'll go run my business this summer. I'll go to St. John's, which is a college in Queens. I'll learn how to study because I haven't studied ever. I don't know anything. I got to get tuned up. I'll take two classes, and then I'll come back to Cornell. We'll do the three classes we're allowed, and we'll reapply. He says, fuck that. He says, why don't we go to Vegas for the summer, party all summer, and because we're going to have to buckle down in September. Why would we start now? And literally, that was the difference for my whole life, because, which I'm sure it's a message you tell, which is like, he ended up, fast forward, I got into Cornell. Wow. He ended up going to UNLV, right? Because I put the work, I put the time in, I did the work, right? Yeah. I ran my business, I went to school, I did everything I had to do. The story's a little longer than that, but at the end of the day, that's what happened. And so I think it's...
What happened with him?
Well, I'm gonna screw up my own message here. He ended up with a medical marijuana business in Vegas. So maybe he did better than me anyway. Who knows?
Yeah.
But he ended up at UNLV. I ended up finally getting accepted. I did it. But I ran my business.
What'd you take at Cornell?
Oh, so the story gets interesting. So I'm trying to get into the hotel school, architecture, this, that, and none of them will accept me. And my mother says to me, meet this woman I teach yoga to. She says she might be able to help get you in. So I sit down with her. My mother's got no contacts other than like swamis and yogis. My dad would have had a contact, right? But I meet the woman out of respect for my mom, and she says, I see that you're taking classes. I see that you're industrious. She goes, do you like textiles? I didn't even know what a textile was. I said, I just smiled along with her, and she said, I've got 92 women in this department, and I've got no men. I'm looking for men. I said, I love textiles.
What is textiles?
So clothing.
Okay.
We studied, literally studied the science of clothing, the design of clothing, and the business of clothing. And I would do it again, because at that time, the United States was turning upside down and everything was getting shipped overseas. And so it was a really tumultuous time. And I learned, like, I could watch a movie with you and know from hemlines what era that's from. So continue to run my business, graduate Cornell, and I want to stay in the business. I got all these bosses or my customers. I'm making a couple of hundred grand a year as a kid just graduated school. I got no debt.
In the 80s, man.
Yeah, early 90s.
Yeah.
So at Cornell, I happened to meet a guy named Al Capucci, Italian, right? You'd click with him. I clicked with him right away. He's managing $1 billion at the time. It's 1989.
$3 billion
$1 billion then. Super smart guy. And he takes a liking to me right away because I'm a neighborhood guy. I went over his house. I brought him a bottle of Sambuca. I knew all the things because we become good friends. And he says, what are you doing when you graduate? I said, I got this business. He says, fuck that business. He says, you have to go to Wall Street. So I said, I don't know anything about Wall Street. I said, the 87 crash, nobody makes money there. I just assumed nobody made money. He said, you're going to Wall Street. So I kept running my business, trying to get on Wall Street. Finally, I got a break. I get a job. And I sell my construction business. At that time, now it's construction and pools. And I start learning the game on Wall Street, which is the more dinners you do and the more drinking you do, the more business you do. And so I'm doing three dinners a night. So I do dinner with you, clean the table, you leave, new person comes in, I eat again, clean it, literally. Because the more dinners I do, the more business I do, right? You're gonna give me business tomorrow because I took you to dinner. Well, it turns out the biggest, most difficult restaurant to get into in New York, not physically big, but like the hot spot, is a restaurant called Rao's. Rao's is it. You can't get a table at Rao's. You probably can, but you can't, like, you go in there, Denzel Washington's in there, the head of New York Stock Exchange is in there, there's a wise guy in the corner, like, this is the place. Only 14 tables.
Still today.
Uh-huh. It's been around since 1900, right? In the worst part of New York, up in the north. So anyway, my neighbor.
Food's good or it's just
food's
the
great. Food's great, but it's more about, it's not the food, it's because people are shot there and it's, right? Uh-huh. You can't get a table.
Uh-huh.
So it turns out, my neighbor, the guy that helped me with the pool business, right? He's now going to jail. So this is early 90s. If you remember the newspapers back then, all these guys started going to jail. So it turns out he's got a table there. So he says, you want the table? Wednesday nights, whatever.
Wow.
So now I got this table, and this, like that's currency. right? Like everybody wants to come to dinner.
Everybody
with
wants
me
that
on,
table.
On Wednesday
Dude,
night.
You got so many breaks, man.
Big break. So, but I didn't. You don't know when that's happening. That, that those are breaks, and you make breaks too, right? Like I didn't. I could have went to.
Yeah, but I mean, so many people took interest in you. Nobody took interest in me, man. I'm jealous.
I think there was one line that I got growing up that you didn't get from my dad. My dad said, when you meet somebody, you quickly figure out how you could help them. And I learned that, right?
Yeah.
What can I do for you? Because if I could make your life easier,
yeah.
I'm going to get something in return.
Yeah.
And you don't ask for anything in return. It comes, right? And so... So where was I? So I get the table. So then I start my own firm on Wall Street. We're trading equities and derivatives, and that takes off. Now I feel like I've done it. I came out of the neighborhood. I did it right. I became Vito.
Went from being a pool guy to Wall Street.
Even before pool guy, I made it. Went to an Ivy League school. It's unbelievable. But I feel like shit. I'm gaining weight. I'm doing all these dinners. I'm drinking with these guys. Everything's broken, and I start to think about my mom's stuff. I start playing, doing the numbers. What if we did like marathons instead and yoga classes? And I'll save a ton of money. I'll build better relationships with my guys. So like, 10x my business by getting rid of the alcohol, getting rid of the dinners.
Oh, you did. You
literally
did.
10x my business,
And
taking them to hot yoga. And adventure races, and because I'm going to war with it. Like if I'm trying to get your business, you and I are going to war together now.
Right? The camaraderie, the bond is
unbelievable.
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable. There's no bond from dinner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So but then I fall in love with doing those things. Like I feel alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I sell the Wall Street business and I start doing all these races. I met my wife. We buy a farm in Vermont, not quite this.
Yeah.
Right? We don't have beautifully trimmed hedges like you do and horses and carriages out front and,
right.
and fox hunting.
We saw some foxes.
but we buy a farm in Vermont and I'm like, man, I'd like to give this to the world. I want other people and business owners and to do this stuff because because just making money is not, like it didn't do it.
I need more than that.
And I think nothing drives me more crazy. It was great. When I met you and you're fit, I'm like, that's what it should be. Not only fiscally.
Because you've met a bunch of
I meet them every day.
Wealthy guys that are just, the rest
mess.
Of their life is just.
A mess. So you made all this money.
And they're
so
80 pounds overweight.
And you're fucking dead. I don't understand, right? Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
So how do I help everybody? Moms, people that are getting divorced, business people. And at first, nobody was going to. Why would anybody want to do one of these races? You're stupid.
Yeah.
I don't want to. Just like I was pushing my mom away.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that stuff. And then, I just kept pushing. I kept pushing. And eventually,
when was this?
This is 2000. Uh-huh. Year 2000. While I'm doing the Wall Street stuff, I'm starting. And 2005, I sell my business on Wall Street. But now I'm 5 years into losing money trying to get races to work. Nobody's showing up. I'm lying to people. I'd call you up and I'd say, hey, we're having a barbecue this weekend. It's not a barbecue. It's a race. But I don't want to tell you it's a race because you're not going
to
come.
Yeah, you'll go to the barbecue.
You come to the barbecue, but you don't know you're the one being barbecued.
Yeah.
We're going to get you out there. So before you know it, it's picking up a little bit. I'm still losing money, picking up a little bit. 2008, 2009 hits. I lose a ton of money. And I'm like, I'm done. I've been losing money for 9 years with this stupid race thing. Nobody's coming. It's not going to work. And I get one. I just hate to lose. Mm-hmm. I hate to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said I'm gonna change the name to Spartan because for the first 9 years it wasn't called Spartan, it was called Peak PEAK. I'm gonna change the name to Spartan and change the format. And between CrossFit becoming popular at that time, Whole Foods was becoming bigger. There's a bunch of veterans coming back from everything. Facebook, just right time, right place. Boom, 1,500 people show up to a race. 3,000 people show up to a race.
Wow.
5,000, 25,000. So we caught lightning in a bottle, but it's an 18-year overnight success.
Yeah,
right? You know, you put in all...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. How close were you to quitting?
I called my mom and said, college isn't for me. They're not accepting me. I'm out. Uh-huh. I quit there, right? And
she You didn't finish Cornell.
I quit, and then she said, meet that woman, right? Uh-huh. So I quit there.
Uh-huh.
Pool business, I quit 10 times.
Yeah.
Right? But somehow I...
But how close were you to quitting Spartan before it was Spartan?
5 times I was done. I packed it in. I couldn't take it anymore. Uh-huh. I mean, I had to lose over $5 million.
So what kept you in it?
It wasn't like I modeled it or it was anything smart. It was just like, I know that if I stick to something long enough, it eventually works.
Yeah.
It's not always true.
Yeah.
Uber came in, right?
Yeah.
But that was my...
Yeah, that Blockbuster, they hung in there for a while.
Yeah.
So do you think it was just you were early?
I think
you needed the Whole Foods, you needed the...
I think it was a few things. I think, one, I'm very authentic when I do stuff. Uh-huh. Like, if I think back to the first business, like, I didn't ask them for money, those customers of the pool business. I showed up at 11 o'clock at night to get the job done. I went above and beyond, and people recognized that,
uh-huh.
right? And my customers became very sticky. They never left.
Uh-huh.
When I think about Wall Street, I applied those same principles. If you were my client, if you were Goldman Sachs, and you called our trading desk, and you said, Joe, I want you to buy 200,000 shares of Disney, and I fucked up the order because we were doing so many orders, you fucked things up. It's just the reality of doing business on the street.
You covered it.
I cover it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might lose 30 grand. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
Right?
You're going to have
a big thing to swallow.
Totally.
30 grand, totally. 50 grand, 100
totally.
Grand. But you're betting.
We were in, what island was I in? Forget now. Mykonos. I flew into Mykonos. We rented a house.
Yeah.
I told my wife on the way over there, I said, I don't think we're going to love this place. Every house had been perfect up to that point. We got there 11 o'clock at night. I'm like, nah. I told the guy, I said, get me out of here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tell him I'll pay tonight. He's like, Mr. Cardone, you wired the money. I said, I know what I did.
Yeah.
Tell him I want out of the damn thing.
Yeah.
Send me my money back. I want to go to this address. He's like, well, he's going to keep your money. I said, dude, whatever. I ain't staying. I've already blown the money.
Right.
Okay. I want the money back.
Right.
He'll do the right thing or he won't. But I got to do the right thing. And the right thing for me is leaving this fucking place and go to the place where I want to be. So we did. We moved. The guy kept the money.
Right.
He did the wrong thing.
If you were studying, you're a pro at this. If you were studying what I was doing and the industry, which didn't exist, and the money I was spending and the strategy, you would have said, get the fuck out. What are you doing? You're an idiot. My bookkeeper came in and said I was an idiot. Everybody said I was an idiot. But... you know what it was too? It wasn't my main, like I was still doing trading. I was doing other stuff. I was starting a new family. I wasn't really paying attention to all the money I was losing in it.
Uh-huh. And so you had a family fund?
No, I was using my money.
Yeah, you were trading. What were you trading?
No, we had equities and derivatives. Uh-huh. It was our business when uh-huh. I had, oh, what was the business on Wall Street?
On the side too. I mean, how were you funding?
Every trade I made, personally, every investment I made was a loser. I'm terrible at that.
Uh-huh.
Terrible. My expertise is servicing clients. My expertise is not investing.
Uh-huh.
That is
such an honest thing to tell people.
I'm terrible at it. So don't take any investment advice from me.
Yeah, but you're good at dinner.
I'm good at dinner.
And getting the table.
And getting the table.
And the connections.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's a stock for me to pick?
Don't ask.
I want one to avoid, though.
I'm not your guy.
Whatever you tell me to do, I won't do it.
I know lots of smart people. I'll tell you one thing I learned in doing this for, God, it's since 1990, so almost 30 years. One thing I learned is patience wins. Like, you don't check the price of your houses that you own every day.
If you
check the price, you'd lose your mind. You'd sell shit. I can't believe the price of our apartment buildings in Texas are down. Sell them. No.
Yeah.
Right? So you can't look at the prices. It's a long-term thing. And I personally believe, but everybody's got their own thing, and again, I'm an idiot, so don't listen to me,
but there
are moments in time, like 09, or 99, or 1990, or 87, where the world is ending. And if you look at Buffett, who's a pretty smart investor, that's when he steps in, he's all in.
Yeah.
And so, that's when you do it.
Yeah. And he buys great shit.
And he buys great shit.
He just like, yeah. And he loads up.
Yeah.
You know?
But at those moments in time.
But even like, you know, he's loading up on Apple right now at a height.
Which would be very...
He bought Amazon.
I wouldn't have the stomach for that.
Yeah, but he's, you know, I mean, we could talk about this forever, but he buys cash flow, dude.
His whole
philosophy is how we buy apartments. He buys cash flow. Everything he buys, See's Candy, American Express, Coca-Cola, it just all has cash flow.
Right.
He's not investing in stocks.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
How much of a scam is Wall Street?
Oh, it's a scam.
Is it the ultimate casino?
It's a scam because
built on just complete.
You know, real estate is actually a lot safer in many ways, right? Because people, like, if you buy cash flow with real estate, you've got tenants. I mean, people need a place to live. I have a friend who owns 9 million square feet of commercial space, and that's not foolproof. I mean, you lose tenants.
Yeah, yeah. Retail. Yeah.
Right, and all of a sudden, young kids aren't shopping. They go to Amazon now. So that's. But everybody needs a place to live.
Got to sleep somewhere.
Got to sleep somewhere.
And people don't want houses. Like when we were growing up, we wanted to own a house.
Yeah.
You know, now we're like, I want to get rid of my house.
I don't want to own anything.
I
don't know if you agree. There's a scene in Heat, the movie Heat, with Pacino and
De Niro.
Yeah,
love that movie.
And I think Val Kilmer.
The best shooter scene.
The best.
Ever.
Yeah. Val Kilmer and De Niro are in a house. He's got no furniture.
Yeah.
And Kilmer says, what are you doing? He says, you got to be able to move on a dime.
Exactly.
And mobility. I said to my wife, I want to rent knives, forks, shoes. I don't want to own anything.
Totally.
Yeah.
We've been in 10 homes actually, in 9 countries.
Wow.
So the people, you know, I did a bunch of interviews here about the real estate, and the guy's like, why do you say don't own your house? I said, well, you drove up here, were you impressed? He's like, yeah. I said, do I lose status because I'm renting here?
Right.
I'm going to rent this place one time.
Right.
I'm never coming back.
Right.
I'll have great memories forever.
And life's short.
And the next time I'll go to a different place. So I'm going to just stack up. How many different places can I take my family to? It's that mobility thing.
And how are you educating the girls? Are they homeschooled or?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so we roll with a nanny.
That's awesome.
I took them out of the school system. I hate the school system. Yep. I hated it for myself.
Yep.
I hate it for them, you know.
And then how about the social piece? How are they?
Dude, my kids, my 7-year-old spoke to 35,000 people last year.
Wow.
Wrote her own speech.
Yeah.
Walked out on stage. She's like, I'm nervous. I said, yeah, that's fine.
Right.
She walked out there and just killed.
Crushed it.
Wrote her own speech, did not share it with anybody.
That's awesome.
My 10-year-old did the same thing. So if they come in here, they'll come introduce themselves. They're totally social little animals.
I love it.
So we put them in environments and encourage them to talk to every stranger.
Right.
Like, talk to strangers. Strangers have everything you want. You know?
I love it.
So I'll have to bring them to a race because it'll be good for
them. I would love to have them at a race.
Yeah. So how long is the race?
So
do you not even like to tell people that because they're like, fuck it,
we're making a bid for the Olympics. We want it to be an Olympic sport. So I had to standardize it. So it's 3 miles, 8 miles, and 13.
Uh-huh.
And what we, again, my goal is to change your habits.
Can I do 3 miles?
You can do, you're going to hurt. You're going to do 3 miles.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're very fit. You'll be fine. But I'm hoping that you then graduate to 8. And then I'm hoping you graduate to 13 because after a year.
God damn, man. Doesn't that keep a lot of people from playing? Why not have a 1 mile?
No, 1 mile's too short. I mean, this, when you get to the finish line of this thing, you feel like you were a Navy SEAL for the day. So I got to get you to a point where you're like...
To where I had to really push.
Yeah, you banged
to
your
to
head.
To have a victory.
Like, I can't believe I'm fucking here. I can't believe Joe talked me into this.
Yeah.
And then you come across the finish line, you are elated.
Yeah.
And so that wouldn't happen.
Because the victory
was
so big.
You got through it. I mean, you were the hero in this journey that day.
That wouldn't have happened in a mile. So it has to be some obstacle.
Otherwise, it doesn't work. Like anything we get easy in life, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Right? I'd love to have you.
Well, then the U.S. is fucked.
Yeah. I wish, I mean.
You've been to Singapore?
I lived in Singapore for a year.
Dude, what a country.
It's fantastic. I lived in Singapore. Tokyo is amazing, too.
You like the rules, don't you?
Yeah, I like rules. I like clean. I like organized.
I love the rules, man. So, dude, it's great meeting you, man. We need to do some stuff together.
You're awesome.
I need to get, you know what we could do?
What?
I do this big event every year.
Yeah.
Not as big as some of your events.
No, fine.
We had 35,000 people in Miami. We'll have 13,000 in Vegas.
Yeah.
But I should figure out how many of them I can get.
I'd like to give you all free entries. Everybody who comes out to your thing, whatever you want. Yeah, I just want to get people healthy is my goal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but you got to make money while you're doing it.
You know what? What'll happen? They'll come. They'll fall in love with it. They'll be bringing friends. I'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how it works.
It just becomes a machine.
Yeah.
Because when you get a taste of this, this is like ice cream on steroids.
Uh-huh. It's good for you.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if we were in India in a really tough neighborhood, I wouldn't be pushing. They don't need it. They're carrying carpets. They're trying to get through life. They have tough times, right? Uh-huh. But the U.S.?
It needs it bad.
It needs it. And they know they need it.
They need it here.
They need it here. Any developed country.
Yeah.
It's too easy.
Yeah, good. We'll figure that out.
All right.
Okay, how long are you going to be out here?
I'm taking my kettlebell. I'm walking back to London.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Do you take that thing with you everywhere?
Everywhere. This is my shtick. This is my thing.
Do you ever resent it?
I hate it every day.
Do you like, man, goddamn, I got to get rid of this?
Every day. You got this thing. Yeah. I got that thing.
I know, but my thing, look.
I'm gonna get you a heavy one.
My thing is like that, dude. Like, you know, it's barely a commitment. And I just leave them places, right?
You leave it there.
You know?
Hey,
your thing.
Tell me if you agree with this. Number one, from my perspective, number one thing that 10X, like if you're a salesman, 10X business, for me anyway,
yeah.
was taking your clients and potential clients and doing something hard with them.
Mm-hmm.
Game changer.
Mm-hmm.
You'll do more business with them. Now, I don't know, you know how to ask for the order and how to do the sales techniques.
Well, no, you're building a relationship.
Just building a relationship.
You're building a very tight. You're building a bond.
For life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to survive something together, you know?
That's right.
So, you know, I'm just teaching people how to make money.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, you know, there's nothing like, now I'll tell you the other real hole that I'm interested in is I want to give people more money now. My new deal, because of my age, I think.
Yeah.
I want to send more money out to people every month than has ever.
And you make.
Than I ever sell to them. So, right. Like, I've sold a lot of stuff my whole life. I've been selling stuff to people. Right. Now, my thing is, told my wife, I said, I want to send more money out than people transact with us. And a billionaire guy taught me this trick. He's like, Grant, you know, I got investors. People are investing with me in my company, and they're all going to make a bunch of money. He's like, I got people all over the world praying for me. I said, what, man? He's like, I got people all over the world praying for me. I said, dude, that's good.
That's big.
That's big. I said, you know what?
Right.
I'm going to pay people every month. Not every quarter, every month.
Nice.
And I said, Elena, people all over the world are going to start praying for me and us.
Nice.
Okay, all religions are going to be praying for me. I'm going to take the power of all religions. Please.
You're
take
building
care.
Legacy. You might live to 150.
Might live, yeah.
All right. That's a good investment.
And you got to be thinking about that now, right?
I mean, I don't know if they're praying for me, but they're getting tattoos.
They're thinking about you.
Yeah, they get Spartan tattoos, so that's...
Yeah.
I'm on my way to prayers, man.
Yeah, yeah.
We're committed.
And we're not quitters.
You're awesome.
Okay.
Thanks
You're
for
awesome.
Having me.
Come on, man.
Can I take a horse back, or...
I don't...
Just give me one of the horses.
I can't do that.
How awesome was that? I mean, I'm a little annoyed that I got to watch these things alone because Tim, Sefra, and Johnny are traveling the world trying to uncover other great interviews. But, you know, reflecting on that trip, I took a train from London. It was like an hour and a half. I get off the train, and I'm looking for this address, which it wasn't a typical address. It wasn't like, you know, 57 Stockbridge Road. And now I understand why. Because the castle was so massive, it basically was the town. And so I ended up having to walk, and I've got my kettlebell, and I'm exhausted because I've been traveling all over the world to get to this damn place. And this driveway I start walking down, this gravel, perfectly manicured driveway, is taking forever. And I apologize. I'm not the guy that ever should complain. I should Spartan the F up. But I go down the driveway, knock on this giant door. Who answers the phone? Grant's pilot. How many people have a pilot, right? And so we start talking, and it turns out Grant's got so busy. He's gotten so busy these days that that the pilot's become like one of his assistants. So we start, the guy's awesome. We start talking. He brings me into the vestibule, sits me down, and I'm waiting in the vestibule for what seems like an eternity. And it's annoying, and I'm thinking, you know what? Grant's not that, I don't hear anything going on behind the door. I think he's literally just behind the door listening with his ear to what I'm saying, but he wants to seem more important. I say that half jokingly because I want to apply that to some of my life, right? I'm always so out front. Like people are in my kitchen right now, my garage door is getting opened and closed, and everybody just tramples over me. And I want somebody to say, you know, Mr. DeSena, I'll see you now, right? Keep people at a distance a little, makes you seem more important because right away, Grant and I were on uneven ground. I was below him. Then he walks in, and he's an animal. He's got that awesome Southern accent. He's fit as can be, 60-something years old, looks great. And he starts teaching me a bunch of stuff about his life, and I'm teaching him a bunch of stuff about my life. And I think we were both wish we got to hang out more. Anyway, he kicks me out of the castle. We're done. And there is a slew of media rolling in, one after the other. He's going to be doing these podcasts. I was a little jealous, I got to say. And I'm standing out there, and I run into the butler. And I'm thinking, who the hell has a butler? And I'm asking the butler, like, what he does. And apparently the butler, like, follows him around because he rents beautiful houses like this all over the world. He takes his daughters on the road, young girls, and homeschools them. And this butler says to me, happiness is wanting what you already have. And I'm a little confused. And then he explains, he's like, look, I got to make sure Grant doesn't want for anything, that he's happy with what he has. That's my job. And I thought, I got to get one of those butlers. So this was a very expensive trip for me because I'm looking to upgrade my entire life now after hanging out with him, right? I want to be a little less accessible. I could use a chopper. I saw a chopper land in the backyard, which was neat. I need a long driveway like that. But anyway, look, I don't know what you'll be able to apply to your life or not from Grant, but he said some great things. He's clearly a man on a mission. He's got all these methodologies to 10X in your life and your business. We want to hear from you. Tell me what you're applying, what you're not applying, what you're struggling with. Go to our Instagram account and be part of the conversation. Let's change the world together.
This episode of the Spartan Up podcast is brought to you by Shady Rays Sunglasses, built for adventure. Go to shadyrays.com and use the code SPARTAN to get 50% off when you order two pairs of sunglasses from Shady Rays.